Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. I've been working hard on a recent crop of plays, and I've got some to present. Today, we have two short shows from the series Strange. First off is the play called The Scarf, mostly set in Cairo.
American Radio Theater presents a lost show from the days of old-time radio. From the series Strange, this is a tale we call The Scarf. We take you back to Cairo. The story you are about to hear is true, but strange.
Blessed be the name of the Prophet. Welcome, Mem Sahib Hadley, to the poor shop of Sidi Mustafa.
Poor my foot. If you got one-tenth the outrageous prices you charge, this shop would be the richest in all Cairo.
Mem Sahib is pleased to jest. I am but a poor dealer in gifts. Would Mem Sahib do me the honor of sharing a cup of coffee?
Sidi, let's dispense with the formalities, shall we? My daughter, Janet, has just gotten married and gone back to England.
Congratulations! May her life be full and happy, and crowded with many children.
Yes. At any rate, I want a gift for her, something to remind her of Cairo and... Oh, what a gorgeous scarf!
Mem Sahib, no!
Good heavens! When I picked it up, the strangest feeling. I seemed to hear things. The sound of horses' hoofs, a woman screaming.
American Radio Theater presents Strange, true stories of the supernatural with your narrator, famous author, lecturer, and expert on strange and weird events, Walter Gibson.
Thank you, Karen Leese. Cairo, Egypt, at the turn of the century, was still a place of lawlessness and oriental intrigue, and the fabulous crowded bazaars held many mementos of a life as different and strange as any that can be imagined.
A woman screaming? I heard no one, Mem Sahib Hadley.
I could have sworn when I picked up the scarf. No, I must have been mistaken.
Yes, of a certainty.
Yet why did you say no?
No.
When I picked it up. Sidi, is there anything wrong with this scarf?
Wrong?
Of course, I don't believe this rubbish, but, a curse? Some kind of oriental...
No. It is only that this scarf is so beautiful that the thought of parting with it brought a wrench to my heart. However, if it is the will of Allah, I am prepared to sell it.
For a good price, I've no doubt.
Mem Sahib, how can you say this? Sidi Mustafa is an honest merchant. I hold you in great respect. I will sell it to you at a ridiculous price.
The sale was finally made. The scarf was bought, wrapped up, and mailed. And 3 weeks later, the new bride, Janet Lang, unwrapped it before her husband, Philip.
Oh, Phil, look at it! Did you ever see anything so gorgeous?
I don't know. I've seen something a lot more gorgeous.
What?
With you, darling.
Oh, Phil.
Well, I thought that wasn't bad. A new husband's got to come up with these compliments once in a while, doesn't... Here, darling, what's the matter?
I don't know. I touched the scarf and...
Touched it? Here, let me see. Feels all right to me.
It felt cold, and yet hot as the desert.
Oh, darling, have you got a fever?
And I seem to hear all sorts of things. Horses, a woman screaming. I had a strange strangling sensation. And the smell, the heavy smell of musk. Like an oriental harem.
Now, how do you know about harems, eh? Is there really something wrong with this thing?
I don't know. Oh, it's so beautiful.
Oh, yes, no doubt of that.
Oh, I'm just being silly, I suppose.
Well, it's up to you, darling. It's yours to wear or throw away.
Oh, I couldn't do that. After all, Mother sent it all the way from Cairo. Let me have it, Phil.
Oh, of course, here you are.
I'm a silly goose. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing.
That same evening, Janet and Philip Lang went to a formal party at a nearby estate. They had a fine time, and the oriental scarf which Janet wore was the hit of the evening. They returned home, and when they retired, the scarf rested on Janet Lang's dressing table.
Janet! Janet, wake up!
No! No! Oh, Phil!
Well, whom did you expect, darling? You haven't any other secret passion besides your lawful wedded husband, have you?
Phil, I had the strangest dream.
Well, that's why I woke you.
I dreamed I was out in the desert.
Desert? Darling, this is England. There's no desert.
There was in my dream. I was at an oasis. Something like that. I wasn't English at all. I was Arabian. I remember I had gone to the water hole with an urn to get some water. And suddenly...
Yes?
I heard hooves. Coming over the sand dunes was a band of slavers.
Slavers? Oh, now, darling, how could you know what they were?
In the dream, I did. They were about to attack the oasis. I even knew the leader's name. Ramazan Pasha.
Oh, now, darling, don't look so frightened. It must have been that scarf.
The scarf?
Well, that plus your lively imagination. Certainly that scarf was something new. It reminded you of Egypt. The last thing you did when we got home was...
Phil! I left it on my dressing table.
Uh-huh.
But now it's here, right here on my pillow. How did it get here?
With the warm light of morning, Janet Lang was sure it had been nothing but a bad dream. And just as sure that she had been mistaken about where she had left the scarf the night before. But she made sure, each time she wore the scarf, to lock it safely in her dresser drawer. Then, a week later, Janet had another dream.
Let me go! Let me go!
Janet! Janet, it's me! It's Janet!
You have desecrated my tribe! Burned the tents! You cannot take me! You cannot! Phil?
Oh, thank heavens! For a while there, you were calling me everything else.
What?
Well, in your dream, darling, including Ramazan something.
Oh, Ramazan Pasha.
Feeling better now?
It was the same dream.
What?
The same as last week. Only I was no longer in the desert. I was in Cairo. I had been abducted from my tribe and taken to Cairo. I was being held captive and couldn't escape. Phil? Phil?
Yeah, honey, you're wearing the scarf again.
It was in the drawer.
Well, you must have walked in your sleep. Taking it out.
It's wrapped around my throat, so tight.
Oh, take it easy. I'll get it. Easy.
Where are you taking it?
I'm putting it in here.
The wall safe?
Well, unless you'd rather I burned it.
Oh, no. It was a gift from my mother.
Right. So, in it goes. Janet, do me a favor.
Yes?
Write to your mother. Tell her about these dreams, about the scarf. Ask her to find out what she can.
What is this you say, Mem Sahib? Your daughter blames her dreams on the scarf? But this is ridiculous.
She's inclined to say so in her letter. For her husband also wrote me without telling her. He's quite concerned.
What kind of dream, Mem Sahib?
Sidi, is there such a person as Ramazan Pasha?
Allah have compassion.
There is.
Speak his name softly, Memsay. A notorious slave trader, a thief, and a defiler of the temple. And yet, it is the truth. Your daughter dreams of him?
I have a letter here. I dreamt I was taken from the desert oasis by Ramazan Pasha. I dreamt I was brought to Cairo, held prisoner in his harem. I dreamt I tried to escape
and was killed.
What?
Who could believe that a scarf could carry such a curse?
Curse? What are you talking about?
The scarf which you sent to your daughter, Memsahib. It once belonged to just such an unfortunate as your daughter describes in her dreams.
A girl who was kidnapped?
Even so, kidnapped from the desert by Ramazan Pasha. Brought to Cairo, and then...
How did she die, Sidi?
She was found on the street, below the scroll window of his harem.
The scarf. Was the scarf...
Mem Sahib, I am a poor, unfortunate man who is not worthy to touch your feet. That by selling the scarf, I should be the instrument of...
Will you stop these long-winded speeches and tell me?
Mem Sahib, I suggest you send your daughter's husband a telegram at once. At once!
When Leona Hadley heard of the part the scarf had played, she sent the telegram. It arrived late the next evening, by which time Janet Lang had already gone upstairs to bed. The telegram arrived, and Philip Lang ripped it open and read it.
The scarf is a murder weapon. It was used... Good heavens! And Janet's already asleep! Janet! Janet!
Yes. Yes. The scarf. I've got it. I've got it. Yes. Around my neck. Around my neck tight. And then, the window? I'm to be strangled and thrown from the window? Oh, no! No! No!
Janet!
Let go of me! The window!
Janet, no! Wake up! Wake up!
Phil! Oh, Phil!
Here, darling, give me that scarf.
Scarf? Oh, it's around my neck! Phil, it's so tight, it almost strangled me. It almost strangled me.
An oriental scarf that almost recreated the same crime in which it had once played a part. The strangling of a beautiful woman. But it would strangle no more. That very night, Philip Lang burned it. Tomorrow, I'll bring you another story of the supernatural. A story true, but strange.
Tune in tomorrow and every weekday over most of these stations at the same time for Walter Gibson, your expert on the supernatural. Stories of ghosts, of spirits, werewolves, and voodoo. And each story you hear is true, but strange. You have been listening to American Radio Theater's presentation of a lost old-time radio show from the series Strange. We call it The Scarf. Originally broadcast on ABC on September 29th, 1955. Produced and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Greg Porter as City, Linda Rasmussen as Leona, Beth Schlansky as Janet, Dean Moody as Phil, and Dan Schindler as Walter Gibson. Music by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. I'm Karen Leese. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Here's one of Dan's outstanding commercials that he comes up with for us.
American Radio Theater presents another episode of Little Susie, brought to you by Oimaway, manufacturers of fine products to make your life easier. This week, we find Little Susie and her dad on safari deep in the jungles of Africa. It's a dark night, and a meager campfire illuminates their faces. Danger lurks in every shadow.
Well, my dear, we've had our dinner, and the porters have set up camp. We've a strenuous day ahead of us.
We'll be tracking the fabled russet rhinoceros.
That's right, little Susie, the russet rhino. Thought by many to be but a native legend told by noble tribesmen for generations. The russet rhino is said to possess mystical powers that can confuse...
Oh, you're right, Daddy. We'll need all the strength we can muster.
But I was just telling you the history of the russet rhino.
I know, Daddy, but I'm so sleepy.
Oh, of course, of course. Good night, my dear.
Good night, Daddy. Oh, his stories are so boring. Now, these stories. A lion! Daddy, I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid, little Susie. Lions seldom approach a campfire. You'll be okay as long as you
don't... No, Daddy. I'm afraid the lion is making too much noise, and I can't hear my American Radio Theater podcasts.
Oh. Well, if that's what's troubling you, little Susie, I have just the thing. It's the Oimaway Big Game Tranquilizer. I just put this Oimaway dart in my air rifle and... Oh, now you see, just one shot of a Oimaway Big Game Tranquilizer, and Mr. Lion will be quiet for the rest of the night.
Gee, Daddy, could I load an Oimaway Big Game Tranquilizer into your air rifle?
Oh, of course. Just put the dart in the chamber.
Like this?
Just like that. You see, nothing to it.
Thank you, Daddy.
Yeah, sure thing, little Susie. Why, all this adventure with the lion and our quest for the fabled russet rhino reminds me of the time when your dear mother and I, rest her soul, were in the mountains of Bengal and surrounded by tigers. There we were at 20,000 feet.
Good night, Daddy. Now I can finally listen to my American Radio Theater podcasts in peace.
And so ends this week's adventure of Little Susie, brought to you by Awimaway, makers of Awimaway Big Game Tranquilizer, and proud sponsors of American Radio Theater. Tune in next week when we hear Little Susie's dad say,
"Wake up, Little Susie! The russet rhino, it's charging! You know, this reminds me of the time when your dear mother and I were out..."
Remember, when you're on safari, you can still listen to our podcast on www.americanradiotheater.org.
Our other show from the series Strange is set in World War II in France. It's called La Chatraine.
American Radio Theater presents a lost show from the days of old-time radio from the series Strange is the tale we call Chatraine. We take you back to France during World War II. The story you're about to hear is true, but strange.
Look there, a German.
You are mistaken, mon ami.
Standing right there in front of them yellow bricks. What are you, Frenchie, a collaborationist? A trap, huh?
Monsieur, it will do you no good to shoot him.
Won't it?
You see, monsieur, you shoot, the bullets go right through him, but he is still there, no? He has been dead now for over a year.
American Radio Theater presents Strange. True stories of the supernatural with your narrator, the famous author, lecturer, and expert on strange and weird events, Walter Gibson.
Thank you, Karen. During World War II, there were many deserted villages and many soldiers who died. But there was only one village where a soldier, already dead, met death again before a firing squad. The village where the American soldier found himself during World War II was down on the maps as La Chatraine. But when Dan Brady got there, it was nothing but a pile of bricks and rubble. At first he thought the town was deserted, but then a small, quiet Frenchman slipped out of the ruins, and then, right on top of that meeting, he fired a burst of machine gun bullets at the figure of a German.
No, no, mon ami. It is useless to fire again. Have I not told you?
You told me riddles, Frenchie. Where is he? Where?
Do not shoot again.
He was right there, right in them yellow bricks. He must have ducked around the corner.
Where do you go?
Where do you think? I'm going after him.
You do not comprehend.
Lay off. You want a bullet too?
No.
Then shut up. What's around that corner?
It is an alley.
Open at the other end?
No. A blind alley.
Blind, huh? Good. He can't get away. All right. Here we go. All right, you dirty Fritz! Empty. Nothing here but moonlight. Where'd he get to?
A ghost, monsieur.
What?
A ghost. Ghosts can vanish through walls, no?
Who are you kidding?
Kidding?
You know what I mean. What gives here? I get shoved up ahead for a recon mission to see if this village is all clear so the outfit can move in. You show up, and then that crowd. What gives? On the other hand, Captain, maybe that village wasn't empty.
What other hand, Brady?
You know, it is and it ain't.
What's with you, Brady? You find some cognac in a cellar someplace, you crock.
No, sir. Sir, the captain don't understand.
I don't, but I want to. Here. Here's the map. Here's that village. What's the name?
Chartraine. La Chartraine.
Yeah, right here. The company is supposed to move in there, set up a company command, but if it's packed up to the eaves with Germans...
All I've seen was one, sir.
One? And for that, you're getting baggy knees? Brady, I ought to take back those sergeant stripes and give them to somebody who can count.
If the captain will just listen.
I am listening.
I mean, listen. I mean... Yes, sir. I mean, this Frenchman says this one German is, well, he's a ghost.
Ah, that figures. Ghost.
Well, that's what the Frenchie says. So, like I was saying, maybe the Chartrain is empty and maybe it ain't.
Attention, Sergeant.
Huh?
I said attention. Now, get this clean and neat, Sergeant. You're going back there.
Me, sir?
You with a squad of men tonight.
Tonight, sir? But the company don't move up until tomorrow.
That's why you go up tonight. I want that village clean, understand? I want that sniper taken care of.
He ain't a sniper, sir.
Quiet. He must be. Now take care of him. No, don't interrupt. And if he's a ghost, well, all right then. Take care of the ghost. Exercise him.
Exercise? Captain, what would a ghost want with doing exercise?
Not exercise, I Brady. Exorcise. Exercise. That means whatever is needed to satisfy the ghost, to get rid of him, get out of here and take care of it.
So Sergeant Brady went back to La Chartraine. It was moonlight when the tramp of the squad echoed among the broken buildings, and the small Frenchman made certain who they were before he appeared like a shadow.
Squad, halt!
Bon ami.
Ease off, you jokers. It's the little Frenchie. Hi, Monsieur.
You have come back, eh?
Yeah. I had to. Met my stripes if I didn't.
Your stripes?
Never mind. But anyway, I got orders to take care of that sniper.
Sniper?
Ghost, whatever he is. The captain says me and this squad, we gotta...
Exorcise him?
Hey, how'd you know?
Because that is what must be done always with a ghost. A firing squad, mon ami.
Firing squad?
That is the only thing.
I don't get it.
Monsieur, perhaps I had better explain.
I wish somebody would.
There is some place you and I can go, so I can explain.
Some place like where?
Beneath a pile of yellow bricks, there remains a cellar. You can give your trust, mon ami. I am, I once was the mayor of this town.
The mayor?
Oui, mayor of La Chartraine. We go to the cellar, no?
Hey, corporal, take care of the squad. Disperse them out of sight, understand? I'm going to hold a conference with the mayor.
What I am to tell you happened right here, mon ami, here in this very cellar of the village hall. It happened 2 years ago. The Germans had taken our village. All in the village were brought here, to this cellar. All, men, women, children, the Germans were here also. Many of them, with guns. As the mayor, I spoke to their commander. Do not understand. All the people of the village...
Go over and join them!
But I do not...
What is there to understand? They are going to be shot!
Shot? They are civilians!
Every last one, shot!
But this is barbarous! It is...
Silence! A village cannot insult a German army and live to talk about it!
Insult?
Yes! Our flag!
Your flag?
Oh, you're being deliberately obtuse! Was not our flag raised immediately after we took this village?
Oui.
And this very morning after it had been raised... Was not the rope cut, deliberately cut, so that our flag fell to the dust?
Come in there. You cannot for that wipe out an entire population.
Enough!
But you cannot...
Enough! Over there with the rest! Achtung! Squad!
Ready!
You cannot do this! It is murder!
Him!
You will face the firing squad for it yourself! You yourself will face the firing squad! Run, mes amis! The firing squad! They are going to murder us! Run!
Fire!
That is what happened 2 years past, mon ami. And as for the German commander?
Yeah, I thought you said he was a ghost.
An hour after the firing squad, this village was hit by an artillery barrage.
Killed him, huh?
Oui. These other German soldiers, they remain dead. But the commander, he was cursed.
Cursed?
His ghost wanders about this village where he committed his crime. Only one thing will exorcise his ghost, mon ami. Only one thing. He, too, must face a firing squad.
It made a strange kind of sense to Sergeant Brady, a ghost who had ordered the murder of innocent civilians, and now must himself face a firing squad. So a half an hour later, in the moonlight, Sergeant Brady drew his squad up in formation before the pile of yellow bricks where the ghost had last been seen.
Where is he, Frenchie?
He will appear.
Maybe I ought to call him.
Call him?
Yeah. Even a ghost doesn't like to wander around. He'd be sort of glad to get it over with.
Perhaps. We called to him.
Hey, Soldaten, Commandant.
Call again.
Soldaten, Commandant. Look.
Oui, it is he.
Yeah, helmet and all. Just waiting, with the moonlight showing right through him. Okay, here goes. Squad ready. Aim. Fire! It worked! Frenchie, it worked! He's gone!
Oui. And now I too must go.
You? I don't figure... Hey, you're getting pale. You're turning pale.
Mon ami, did I not tell you I was the mayor? And do you not recall my story? In the cellar, mon ami, all of us faced the German firing squad. All of us.
All of you? Then you...
But of course, I only waited for justice to be dealt. Of course, I too am a ghost.
The ghost of La Chatrain, exorcised by a firing squad 2 years later. A weird story, verified by records of the French War Office itself. And, if you search hard enough, you may also find it in our own records. Tomorrow, I'll bring you another story of the supernatural. A story true, but strange.
Tune in tomorrow and every Wednesday evening over most of these stations at the same time for Walter Gibson, your expert on the supernatural. Stories of ghosts, of spirits, werewolves, and voodoo. And each story you hear is true, but strange. You have been listening to American Radio Theater's presentation of a lost old-time radio show from the series Strange. We call it Chatrain. Originally produced on ABC on October 18th, 1955, produced and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Dan Schindler as Dan, Greg Porter as the French man, Pat McNally as the captain, Dean T. Moody as the German, Chuck Royalty as Walter Gibson. Music by Kevin McLeod at incompetech.com. I'm Karen Leese. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Hey, let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Your Saturday Dance Date with the most popular music from the most glamorous dance resorts continues over NBC from Chicago. From the famous marine dining room of the Edgewater Beach Hotel on the starlit shores of Lake Michigan. For your Saturday night dancing pleasure, we present the golden touch of Frankie Carl, his piano, and his orchestra. And after a few measures of the familiar Frankie Carl Overture, Sunrise Serenade, we're ready to lift the rhythmical anchor and begin another bright musical voyage on the Chicago portion of your Saturday Dance Date. And right now, Frankie Carl and the orchestra pick up the cue as everybody gets in the act, both instrumentally and vocally, with Let's Do It Again. Well, let's. Well, next comes a medley composed of a duo of hit ballads featuring lyrics supplied by balladeer Alan Sims and the quartet. First Frankie Carl and the orchestra play It Was Nice While It Lasted, with our friend Alan Sims adding the words, followed by Sometime, the quartet assisting vocally on the latter. Here they are, It Was Nice While It Lasted and Sometime.
Thank you. it was nice while it lasted is all I can say. Too bad our romance has ended this way. Pardon the teardrop and pardon the sigh. Nice to have known you, but now it's goodbye. It was nice while it lasted, and thrilling moment of your kiss. So if you should need me, I'll always be here. It was nice while it lasted, dear.
A golden touch of fantasy mingled with a bit of refreshing novelty and instrumentation. As we hear Frankie Carlin Company putting the accent on counterpoint in the Alice in Wonderland style with a tune that he's just incidentally recorded for RCA Victor. At the Lollipop Ball. Thank you. Time to welcome to our Saturday Dance Date, lovely Terry Stevens with the voice that thrills. And here she comes to place the emphasis of her song on a romantic note. Frankie Carlin, the orchestra play, Terry Stevens sings, I'll Always Love You. Well, here it is, around about that point in our program, when we like to remind you listeners and dancers from coast to coast that this is your Saturday Dance Day. A full hour of top music by America's top bands coming your way each Saturday at this hour over NBC from the top dance resorts of the nation. And right now we're enjoying the Chicago portion of your Saturday Dance Day with danceable, romanceable music provided in the golden touch manner of Frankie Carlin, his piano and his orchestra. Originating from the fashionable marine dining room of the Edgewater Beach Hotel, located on the shores of the deep blue waters of Lake Michigan in the windy city, Chicago by the lake. Well, on with the melodic festivities now, as Frankie Carlin and the orchestra continue our Saturday dance dates with an instrumental medley of two old favorites, the immortal Tea for Two and the ever-pleasant Oh Marie. Thank you. Once again, our Marine dining room spotlight glows down upon that lyrically inclined gentleman, Alan Sims, who returns to offer up an encore now as he joins Maestro Carlin, the orchestra, to sing the romantic ballad entitled Dream a Little Dream of Me.
Whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree. Dream a little dream of me. Say nighty-night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you'll miss me while I'm alone and blue as can be. Dream a little dream of me. Stars fading, but I linger on, dear, still craving your kiss. I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear, just saying this. Sweet dreams till sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams that leave all worries behind you. And in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me. Sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams that leave all worries behind you. And in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me.
Well, this has been a perfect day in the good old summertime here at Chicago's Edgewater Beach Hotel. We've enjoyed a wonderful afternoon of sailing, and it was nothing less than out of this world where everything is on the beach. And now, what with that proverbial moonlight casting its spell on the beach walk, it's the appropriate time for boy to meet girl. And that's just exactly the thing that's going to take place right now as Terry Stevens meets Alan Sims. And we hear their voices blend in duet style as they sing, I love the guy, I love the girl.
Though he grieves me and he leaves me high and dry. day and I'm left alone. Then I say that he is on his own. But when he calls, I break my neck to get that phone. 'Cause I love the guy.
Love the girl, though she loves me, then she leaves me in a whirl. She breaks dates and I'm left alone. Then I tell her she's on her own. But soon I break my neck to get her on the phone, 'cause I love the girl.
Mine's the only name that's tattooed on his chest.
Yes, I love the girl.
I like the lad.
I love the dame.
I want the dope.
I like this miss.
I like the boy.
I need this chick. Well, 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 what do you know? Look who's here. It's an old gal friend of ours coming forth now on our Saturday dance date. One that we're all going to enjoy meeting again. Here she comes, escorted melodically by Frankie Carl and the boys. None other than Josephine. Recognize her? You bet it's Josephine.
This has been your Saturday Dance Date with NBC. A full hour of the most popular music in the land from the most glamorous dance resorts in the nation. From the famous Café Rouge at the Hotel Statler in New York, we've heard Jan Garber and his orchestra. And from the picturesque Marine Ballroom of the Edgewater Beach Hotel on the shores of Lake Michigan in Chicago, we've heard the golden touch of Frankie Carl, his piano and his orchestra. Be sure to keep our Saturday Dance Date next week at this same time. To hear the most popular bands in the land from the nation's most famous spots for wonderful music and wonderful dancing. This Chicago portion of Saturday Dance Date was produced by John Cowan. Jack Jenkins was our engineer, and this is Bill Grisky speaking. Programs, get your programs here. Howard Duff portrays the greatest private eye of them all, Sam Spade, tomorrow on NBC. It's another thrilling caper for the hard-boiled romantic investigator, Sam Spade. On the NBC Symphony Summer Concert tomorrow, Sigmund Gromberg conducts the orchestra, and the soloists are Yarmila Novotna and Warren Gaujour. It's a Sunday evening concert designed for you.
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time.